Brahmana, it is said that you hardly stay in the houses of men long enough to milk a cow. So today, we are coming to the end of this canto. So as you see, our Maharaj Parikshit, he got cursed, and finally he has now taken shelter, and he has actually put forward a number of nice questions, and he's asking him. And Sukadev Goswami, who is, in fact, Sukadev Goswami was specially chosen by Krishna. So that is the thing. He may be very young. He may, you know, appear like as if, a normal person will say, no, he doesn't know anything, he's too young, he doesn't look also like a pandit, you know, something like that. But Krishna specially brought him down just for this. So he is giving this wonderful Bhagavatam. So we know from this verse how sages travel about. They go from house to house. See, sometimes they are going to ask some nice, you know, something for them to take, and normally they will ask milk. Why? Because, as we all know, yeah, Prabhupada puts it in one of the purpose, he puts it wonderfully. Milking a cow means drawing the principle of religion in a liquid form. This is a very wonderful, it's a liquid form. Religion is a principle. In liquid form, you want it, it's milk. Nice cow's milk, not buffalo milk. No, cow's milk. And the thing is, when we drink that, we will get into the mode of goodness. That's another way. Now you drink a lot of milk, huh? Slowly you see a mode of goodness. That's why we chant, that's why devotees, when we chant and then we drink milk, you get to mode of goodness very fast. Because milk in itself, it says, you know, Prabhupada was saying in one, you know, that milk is one that can be considered a food as well as drink. Both ways it will satisfy. If you are thirsty, it will satisfy. If you are hungry, it will also satisfy. That is something very special about cow's milk. But you drink buffalo milk, you won't be satisfied. No? Food wise, you will get stomach problems. And as for drink, thirsty, you become more thirsty. You become more thirsty. Because it is not the proper type of water that is found there. You know, you find sweat and the urine and all these things, you know, this, especially the sweat, you know, of a buffalo. Buffalo don't have sweat glands, so therefore the water drips into this milk bag. And from there it is disposed out. See? So it's a lot different. And again, we know that household got a lot of paraphernalias, and cows and bulls are one of them. Actually, it said in the sastra that, you know, even elephants, horses, all these are also household paraphernalias. But the problem now is, instead of horses, they put a car in front. Okay? So you don't need a horse, they say. Yeah? Then elephant, they say, no problem, I can get some contractor this way, that way, and fix it this and fix it that, or do some hard work this way, that way. Yes. So, but anyway, these are all paraphernalias we expect in a house. In the past, they always see the, you know, the a person's level of his material asset is by the number of cows. Number of cows in the house. It's very important. And cow in the house, of course, is also another, you know, because the cows, you know, as you know, the demigods, all the 33 million demigods are taking shelter in the cow. Cows, various different parts of their body, the 33 million demigods are actually residing. So you just imagine they are in your house. How good it must be. Very auspicious. So, and then as we know, cows, you know, the various things that are required. You know, cow. If we don't have cow, then householders can close shop. Because why? There is no sacrificial arena going to come out. No sacrifice. He cannot sacrifice. You see, now they are doing the sacrificial, fire sacrifice outside there. Without a cow, there is no way they can do it. See, because the cow gives various products which has to be used for this. Cannot be replaced. Cannot be replaced. See? So therefore, like milk, ghee, all this, you know, and then also the cow dung and also the gomutra. All these are required. Otherwise, fire sacrifice cannot be done. So therefore, cow actually plays a very, very important role. And as householders, yeah, many of us may be, you know, thinking of whether we should get married, this, that, but when you get married, just take into account that this is also our duty to look after sages. Because the householders have to look after all the other three ashrams. So therefore, it is a duty. It's a duty. Okay? It's not that, you know, I earn, so therefore, I use it. So what? I don't want to give anybody else. It doesn't work like that. And, you know, the duty of a householder, what this Bhagavatam says, first and foremost, before a householder eats, he has to go and first feed children. The children must be fed, and then also the elderly in the house. All this must be first fed. You cannot have them going hungry while you eat with. No. Cannot. And after that, the brahmanas and the invalids must also be fed before the householder can actually sit and start eating. This is shastra. And because all others are dependent, okay? In general, if you look at it, all others are dependent and only the householder is supposed to one to look after. So they are looking after. So in order to look after, you have to feed them first. That is why children and all, they have no time. You know, you cannot tell them, no, sorry, this is not the lunch time, this is not the dinner time and what time. No. For them, every time is dining time. Okay? Many times they can take. And it is not anything wrong. Nothing wrong with that. Because they are growing up. No. But for us, yes, we have specific time. Otherwise, you will see our weight will go out. Then we become very, very, then we have to hunt for the body shop. Okay, then body shop is the only shelter we have. Okay. So please make sure timing is very important. And after all this, is it over? Can the householder go and do the eating? No. Still no. Because there may be someone, because the order of the day is that nobody around the house or in the surrounding of the house, the neighbors, house, all, no one goes hungry. So he has to go out and shout three times. Anybody wants prasadam, please come, please come, please come. Three times, shout. And then only he can slowly go. Okay, so there is no, you know, nowadays HDB flat, okay, always the door is closed. So whether the neighbors exist or not, we don't even know. Okay, and even if they exist, you don't know whether they are in or not. They may be always out in the working and this and that. So it's a bit tough. But tantrically, in a house, you know, last time we can have cows and all this. Very nice arrangement. It's a very nice, beautiful setup. In India, this still, you know, there are some places still going on. And like that, he is required. But then it is said that in Sastra, additionally Bhagavatam is saying that not feeding the children and the elderly members is unpardonable. That is proportional translation. Unpardonable. Cannot be excused. So that's why it's very important. Children must be fed and the elderly also must be fed, not put them in the old age home and then think, okay, my responsibility is taken care of. Because why? I am paying for it. Sastra does not talk about dollars and cents, how much you pay. It says you have to take care. As much as they have taken care of us. So he has no choice. And as a householder, he has to maintain all the three ashrams. Okay, all the other three ashrams. Brahmachari, Anaprastha, and Sanyas. They have to maintain. If they come to your house, you have to. You have to welcome. It is said, actually in the Shastra it says that even an enemy comes to your house, you are supposed to invite him and give him whatever, you know, at least something to eat, something. At least water, minimum. You cannot tell him, oh, you told me like that, you told me, and all these stories of the past cannot be taken in. No, he is now your guest. So therefore, we have to welcome him and feed him accordingly. And in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.4.8, this same kind of verse appears. Okay? Where it says, Sukadev only say a short while. Very short while. Just enough time, enough for milking a cow. You know, when the cow in the early in the morning when it just came out after the night, the milk is very fresh and warm. And the taste is also exorbitant. Really nice. That's why if you, I'm very sure you know you all went to, if you all have gone to Vrindavan, you realize the milk there and the milk that we take here in the, from the supermarket, well of difference. Down there, fresh, they give it to you and it really tastes so nice. But somehow or other, the problem is most of us actually go during the Kartik month. And Kartik month happens to be the cold time. And during that cold time, we take too much of cow's milk, we get this sick, you know, we will get phlegm, too much of phlegm. So, but then, you know, we say, oh, you know, how long can I come? It's so nice, let me just do it, you know, mind, take a little bit more. But it's definitely very, very tasty compared to any. Because the cows there are, they live fearlessly. They don't see that somebody is going to come and harm them or will be cut them and will, you know, be slaughtered and all. No, no such fear. They know they don't do that. So, this householder, he has to consider himself. If let's say a sadhu comes to your house, you have to consider yourself as fortunate. He's fortunate. There are so many houses. Don't think that, you know, sadhus will be coming to every house. No, no. Very fortunate. You have to come. And then, they come. And what do they do? You know why? No, we know so much about sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha. Normally sadhu sangha like this, we are coming here. Right? We have to go somewhere. But that, the sadhu is coming to your own home. And not only is giving you the sangha, but he is also giving you the a wonderful kind of seva. You know, you are able to serve him. You know, when great sadhus, when you serve, the real benefit is countless. It cannot, it's very, very great. And on top of that, of course, you know, when great sadhus, paramahamsas like this come, you can be rest assured that you are always on the receiving end. Although you give him a little milk, but you are always on the receiving end. Because your spiritual life will definitely go up. I've been very nice and sweet words and talk to him and nicely. This taking care of him is very, very important. And the other thing is, you know, when sadhus come, normally they also do the father sevanam, you know, that they will start washing the feet of the, very important, very important. Don't take it that, you know, this father sevanam means, you know, this, what is this, you know, lotus feet or what, after all I can just touch it and put it, or I just bow down or whatever, whatever, it's already enough, you know, extra. Because when you drink that food bathing water, it is really, you cannot get that in the three worlds. You know, demigods don't get it, you know. Demigods don't get it. Because no sadhus go to devadas houses in heavenly planets. Although they have a lot and lot, they are so rich and opulent. Sadhus doesn't go there. Because why? They are simply bathing in material effects, that's all. That is not what a sadhu is looking at. Sadhu want a simple, nice milk gift. That's it. So, like that. And the householder must make sure that he inquire from this nice sadhu. What is he going to inquire? Not about the market, what is going to be tomorrow, how is it, who is going to go, what is, you bought a car, you wear this, can you give me one car, or can you please give me some money, or I become very rich and this and that, no. Or give me a son, give me a daughter. This is all, your karma will take care anyway. So you don't need to get a sadhu to give all these things. So he is coming to give transcendental knowledge, and so we must make use of it. When we ask him transcendental questions, he becomes enlightened. This is natural. Natural. As a devotee, I am very sure you go to somebody's house and when they are trying to say, you know, all this, okay, they are talking, all the mundane things, you just see like that. You know, there is no interest in it. But the moment you start off, Krishna is like this, why this, that, why is Krishna doing that? You know, in Bhagavatam it says like this, like that. You know, like that, when we start off, the sadhu becomes extremely pleased. And from his bottom of his heart, he just will start pouring nectar. This, you can't get it in normal anywhere. This is specially arranged by Krishna. And it is for us to make full use of it. The opportunity is there. So then, the householder, always don't grumble. Don't grumble, oh, what is this guy coming here and all this, you know, asking for these and all. I mean, very sure, many of you who do this Sankirtan, bring books and go and sell book distribution, I'm very sure you go to the one and knock. That's it. You see them, the moment, the first thing, no, I don't want, get moving, I'm not interested. All these. Don't, because they don't know. They don't know how much they are losing. Because they are completely immersed in the material affairs. And they are really going through a hard time. So in that kind of mode, he cannot think properly. The worst is he is in it and drops suffering, but he doesn't know how to come out. And not only to come out, he also doesn't know that he is suffering. That's the worst thing. That is Maya. You know, Maya, the other word is, the meaning is not, which is not. Illusion. Anything which is not, and we think it is. That is Maya. So therefore, we have to be careful that we get this wonderful opportunity. And it's a grateful thing. And the other thing that Bhagavatam is also saying, that those who do not bow down before the sage at once must pass for the day. If they come in and if you don't bow down, then immediately start your fasting. No need to wait for Ekadasi and all. Okay, you can start. Fast for that day. For that day, you can fast. To overcome is just to overcome the aparat. It's an aparat. Stop falling down. And worse still, there is that anyone who dishonors a sage state is an offender. So there are two things, sin and offender. They are different. They are not the same. Okay? Those who commit sin and those who commit offense, they are different. And offense, you can expect the thing will come immediately. The reaction will be very fast. Within your own lifetime, you are likely to see the outcome. Whereas the sin, no, it may take, you know, it may carry on to the next or the next or the next birth, and then you repay. Okay? Sinful activities are those that, you know, you go against the principles in the religious principles in the Shastra. That is sinful. But an offense is someone who is higher than you, you have to give them the respect. So this respect is not given, it's an offense. And that is one which Krishna does not. Irrespective of which mode you are in, he doesn't bother. He doesn't take into consideration, you are in the mode of ignorance, so that is why he did it. No. He still be punished. And punish, of course, Krishna does not punish, but the punishment comes out of the deed itself. And the thing is, you have to ask for forgiveness to get it out. Only then the offense can be taken out. But a sin is different. A sin, you actually enjoy or suffer. Then it is used up. It is neutralized. Over. But in offense, no. Offense, you have to go back to that particular person and ask for forgiveness. This is very important. So therefore, the offense are very, very serious. That's why when we go this Vrindavan, Mayapur and all these holy towns, very, very careful. There are so many devotees, there are so many sadhu, sannyasis, all walking around. So we have to, doesn't mean, you know, on the road you saw a sadhu, you just fall down, you fall down. These are not practical, so, you know, then the buses and lorries also will start going over you. So, let's be practical about the thing. But the thing is, as far as this thing. But the other thing is, this is something which I always see, you know. And this one, Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj, he told me. He said, when the deities are giving darshan, you cannot bow down to any other person in a temple. In a temple, when deities are giving darshan, that means open, when the deities are open for darshan, in front of the deity, we cannot give darshan, even if it's a sannyasi or paramahamsa or whatever. Because all bowing down and everything is to for the Lord. It's to the Lord. But other places, yes. Any other place, we must. Okay? Maybe in the temple, maybe one corner, you know, where the babies are all close, then we have to. And we always ask ourselves, why these sages must come around like this, going around all these places? Actually speaking, strictly speaking, they have actually no business in a householder. Just ask yourself, do they really have anything to give? I mean, householders. Do householders got anything to give which the sadhus want? No. He doesn't want anything. He is not going to be mesmerized by our big time material assets and all. No, he is not going to. So therefore, why does he come? So the question is, why do he come? So it says that the sadhus, there are many sadhus, some of them, actually most sadhus you will find that they go around from house to house asking for alms. This is normal. But in our sampradaya we know, Madhavendra Puri knows. He doesn't. Because he knows, because he is such an elevated soul, that he knows that Krishna provides everything. So he need not have to, you know, that Krishna maintains the body. Not he maintains the body. Because in the first and foremost, the body does not belong to him. It belongs to Krishna. So therefore, Krishna maintains the body. But these can only come about when we are in that level. Not at our current level, we may not be able to do so. We cannot think of it as that. So, he needs this thing. Madhavendra Puri was actually trying to, you know, he was sitting down and he did not take, and happened that on that day, nobody came. You know, normally the villagers will come and give him some milk and all this. Now this is normally. But it so happened on that particular day, nobody came. So he was going hungry. Hungry and hungry and hungry. But of course, a sadhu, for him, hunger is nothing. He can always take it. So he was just going, he did not bother about it, and he was just doing his normal chanting. And so suddenly, when Krishna looked at it, he couldn't take it. Because he is an unalloyed. You know, imagine, just to flash back, one step back, Madhavendra Puri is also the one who actually got that Gopal deities and installed. Okay, he is in Vrindavan. He is such a great personality. And later when he went to the Jagannath Puri to find sandalwood for Gopal, because Gopal say, I am very hot. So when he went there, he couldn't find. I mean, he has to, you know, make arrangements. So he was making all the necessary arrangements. And there he happened to be at Gopinath. Gopinath Mandir. So, Gopinath, you know, is very famous. He takes that sweet rice. It's very famous. Very famous. Anyone who go down there who don't take sweet rice from Gopinath sweet rice, really, they are lost. We have lost a big opportunity. We should never, never lose. It's special. The taste is so special. So when he was offering, there again the same thing happened. Madhavendra Puri was thinking, oh, it's nice. You know, everybody talks about this nice. He has never tasted it. But then it will be so nice that I can also cook like the same kind of, you know, sweet rice for Gopal. So he was thinking like that, and you, of course, if you want like that, then first thing you must taste it. So he was thinking, oh yeah, how nice. If I could taste it, then it should be no problem. I could be able to make out and I can do it for my Gopal. But somehow or other, you know, he didn't, you know, the pujari do not know who is this personality called Madhavendra. So he went on, finished everything over. Madhavendra Puri just went back, you know, after taking darshan and all, he went back and he was in the marketplace sitting down and doing his own chanting. He doesn't stay in hotels and guest houses. Okay? They stay in normal. So here the Lord saw it. Gopinath saw, how can my devotee? So immediately in the middle of the night, he woke up his pujari, the head pujari. See, he came in the dream and he said, how can you deprive, why did you deprive this from my devotee? No, you must give him. Please come. I have actually hidden one very nice pot of, they usually put a few pots to the Lord and they offer. The Lord has purposely taken it and under his cloth below, he just hide it behind. So the Lord said, you go and see, and that is this pot that of Purvina. Give it to my devotee who is just outside there. Give it to him, Madhavendra Puri is his name. Please go and give it to him. And true enough, the priest immediately, he woke up. He said, oh, what is this? How can it be? I took everything. I took every pot out, I'm very sure. But somehow or other, when he went and saw, yes, that one pot was there. So, this Gopinath is so merciful. Then he went and gave it to Madhavendra Puri. So this same Madhavendra Puri now is in this place in Vrindavan, and he was doing his chanting, and on that day he didn't get anyone, nobody fed him, and Krishna could not take it. Krishna came down as a cowherd boy and he brought milk and gave it. So he said, you must be hungry. You must be hungry. Then he said, how do we know? How do you know? Oh, that one, during this Yamuna, the people are bathing and all, they talk about it, that the sadhu sitting there and he has not taken anything today. So he's really hungry. Then, anyway, Madhavendra Puri said, alright, who are you anyway? I'm only a coward boy, when I see I got so much access, this milk, so I'm just giving. So he said, alright, anyway, I'm going to give it to me. So he took it, and the moment he took it, and then he said, Krishna said, this is it, please leave me, I got so much of work to do, my cows will run away, this and that, and all, so I had to go off. So he went off, and here, Madhavendra took it, and after that, he started, and he knew, because the milk was exceptionally very nice to take. So he knew something, and he said, oh, he said, cowherd boy, like that he made out, and immediately, his Atma, this revealed to him, this Krishna, okay. So, you see how, he did not have to go, but the people around would come and give. And not only people will come and give, if people don't give, Krishna will arrange for. So like that, and sannyasis are all traveling around. These sannyasis, they travel around and doing what? They are enlightening the eternal relationship and also engaging them in devotional service. This is part of their thing. They are going to houses for not just for sitting down and talking about it. They are coming there to make sure our relationship, please build it up back to Krishna. That is what you all have forgotten. So please establish the relationship back. That is his prime. And by just association, you get it. You become spiritually enlightened. And why? Because see, the householder, the problem is that he is always involved in material life. The household life is so much of material, so many things in material, so many activities, everything all material. So much so he is so involved in material affairs that he forgets himself. So, the sadhus are coming to take them, to know, connect them back, make a link back to Krishna. And on top of that, these, of course, when he becomes a devotee, one of the best things that happens when he becomes a devotee is that he becomes fearless. You know, fear goes. Because we know, I have the devotees, I got Krishna. So I'll be taken care of. This kind of fear, the confidence will be there. So, what is so important about this fearlessness? And Prabhupada writes, to avoid fearless in this is the greatest act of charity. If you want to give charity, this is what the best charity. If we can bring about fearlessness, that means deep Krishna consciousness, then you are definitely giving the highest charity. You no need to worry about the modes anymore. Charity is given the mode of goodness or passion or ignorance. No. It's beyond all this. Krishna consciousness. And as we know, even there is nothing to grumble because sages don't come and ask us all the kind of big things, you know, with the materialism they can ask. Materialists, if they come to the house, you better be careful. if they can, they will also take away what belongs to you without your knowledge also. That also can happen. If not, they will come for demand. Say, why not this one? Why not that one? Why, oh, give me this. I want to borrow these, I'm going to borrow that, and all kind of, so many things, you know. Or he will give you one ton of his problem and put it there and he goes off. Then you figure out what to do. So these are, but sages are very simple. They don't ask a single word unless you ask them. So we make sure we ask them the most valuable things in life, Krishna consciousness. How? How to become spiritually elevated? These are questions. And as you know, as for sages, to be very frank, they really need not have to come to the house because Krishna has created this cosmic manifestation in such a way that it is 100% complete in itself. He is complete. So whatever he does, his activities, his creation, and everything is also complete. So it is so complete. And in Bhagavatam 2.2.4 and 2.2.5, the same, the bare necessities are all there. We need not have to run for it. And it says, the earthly flax, there are so many earth, the earth is so big and there are so much of space. We can definitely find a place to sleep. Is it difficult? You need a bed? Not necessary. There's so much of space. All over. You know, the park, these, that. So many places. In Vrindavan you see, oh, so many places. You need not have to have a big bungalow or a big house or nothing. You can see. And it also says, then ask, what is the necessity of a bed in that case? Because you already got it. And you can use your own arm to sleep. So what is the necessity of a pillow? You know, pillow, they have found now that, you know, everybody getting cramp. Neck cramp and all this sort of thing. This is bad. Because the posture and the height and all these things. But when we use our hand, elbow, and we sleep on it, you are rest assured, you are in the best position. The best position. So he is asking, what need a pillow? Need a pillow for. And it's also, it says, you have the palms. If you have the palms, then why do you need utensils? Do we need a fork and spoon and all these things? No need. Hand is the best. You know, it is created in such a way that five fingers can function in five different ways at the same time. With no robot or anything can do. Robot also, you see, the floor will be like as stiff as anything, you know, you will see. Stiff kind of thing, you know. This one is very flexible. So, you don't need. So, what's the use of utensils? Then, The trees are already giving you the bark and all these things, the leaves and all that you can just wear. So really cloth is not a big issue. We need not. But of course we are thinking of different colors, and we have to go and hunt for different colored leaves. But anyway, what Bhagavatam is saying is that base necessities are all there. And in 225 it says, there are always torn cloth, a lot of torn cloth and all which we throw away before even it is actually bad. It is good, but we feel, no, this one I cannot wear. So we throw it away. And you are saying, there are so many cloths around, if you want to wear cloth, it's not available. So why do you need all this in the road? You can get it. And he is asking, do the trees which exist for maintaining others no longer give alms in charity? A tree always gives everything. Tree is one. Trees and plants. It just gives only. It doesn't take. That's the beauty of a tree. It just keeps on giving. Giving. Charity. You can take it. Not a single paisa will be charged. He doesn't talk about money. See? So the tree is already giving you the fruits. So why do you worry about it? Then the rivers are giving water, isn't it? So if you are thirsty, just go, water is there. And you can be rest assured, it's not contaminated. Very fresh, that kind of water. And then the mountains are there. So you don't need to have big flats and these and that, all the concrete jungle, not necessary. You can still go on. So like that, and above all, it says, does the Almighty not protect the fully surrendered souls? The Lord protects. So why are you worried? That's what. Why then do the learned sages go to flatter those who are intoxicated by hard-earned wealth? The fact. Because the householder always think, wow, so hard, you know, how difficult to earn this one, and then now I bring in here, these crazy sages are coming, and then they start, you know, using it up. Actually, it's a fact. You earn, if you really want to make full use of your earning, the best result, you cannot take, you should give it to them. Either you give it to them, or you give it to your family members. Because in the, you know, Kapila Dev, he said, how much can your householder take? He earns so much, but everything the family members take, they eat. And if you calculate all the amount that others eat, his amount is small bit. Earn hard pay, but this is the one of the outcome of being a householder. He cannot run away. And so, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, all these are sages. You know, they were such a great sages. They are ministers. They are ministers. Can imagine how much of material opulence they have. They gave up everything and just come out to serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. See, so you can just see. And then what he is doing? He is writing literatures, which eventually now it is a great treasure for us. And devotees, these are all treasure now. He's giving so much. So sadhus, they are not wasting time. They are not someone that, you know, society depending on, and they are parasites. They are not parasites. And Prabhupada puts that very strongly in that purport of that 225. He says, sages are not meant for begging or living as parasites. And then he goes on to substantiate that how Rupa Goswami is, you know, how do you say these sages, so many sages are like that. So they are all great sages. And mind you, these sages, they are coming to the house, is, you know, bringing themselves down to Madhyama. Madhyama, you know, they are Uttamas. They are in the Uttama level, you know. So they are bringing down so that he can associate and talk to the householder or give him some service. Otherwise, he has no room. He saw all equal. What is that? Nothing. So these are very important. And then, of course, Krishna knows. The sages know very well. Krishna protects and provides. And we need not have to run around. No need. It will come. That is how the law of karma works that way. Actually it comes. But the problem is in our material those who are involved in material things, then we have to really go and earn and get it. We have to do hard work and get it. For the sadhus, they need not have to do any hard work. It will come. Whatever is due to them, they will get. And so, we all know Rupa Goswami. Once he was in this Vrindavan and he was thinking, how nice, he was in the forest. This Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, he doesn't stay under any tree more than 3 days. Because he feels that if he stay more than that, he may get attached to that tree and he's like, this is my house. Immediately it's cordoned off and become your own one. No such thing. So he keeps moving. He's always moving. So he was in the forest and he was thinking, how nice if I can cook some wonderful this thing for my babies. But then, in the forest, where to get all this, dal and sabji and all this kind of thing, the various provisions, where to get. So he was thinking and he was going on. After some time, you see a small girl came, that was Radharani. She came and she gave. She brought so much of wonderful items. And immediately, Rupa Goswami cooked it and he offered it. So when Sanatana Goswami came, he said, where on earth did you get all this thing? In this middle of the forest. So he said, I got it, I was thinking of it and then a small girl, she came and gave it to me. Who is this small girl? Then, immediately Sanatana Goswami said, that is Radharani, and how can you take service from Radharani? We are supposed to serve her. So like that, you just imagine, if you are really in that level, Krishna will make all the necessary arrangements. So we need not have to be this thing. So, in householder life, we all know it's how tough it is. Those people who want to go into householder life, who are thinking of getting married and becoming householder and all. It is a tough. Okay? Speaking from experience, It's not out of, consult the sastras, okay? Although it is there, but then I need not have to, okay? So, it's a living example, so we know. So this one is a tough life. Because you have so many dependents, you have to look after. So this looking after of dependents and all can be really, really tough. One of the biggest things in this life of a householder is that comparing the other three ashrams, this particular ashram, the rules are a little flexible. And that flexibility, it makes us really go a bit too out of the way, sometimes. Many things we compromise and go out of the way. This is common. And so end up, we get cooked to certain things which we should not be. See, we do things which we are not supposed to do. Because we become very, very liberal. In the other three ashrams, they are very strict. That's why if you want to remain as a brahmachari or vanaprastha or sannyasi, don't think, this one is very hard, householder is very hard, so I might as well stay in any of these one. No. It doesn't work like that. Because if you stay, you must follow the strict rules. Otherwise, you are going to get reaction for it. Serious regression. This one is very serious. Like sannyasi. Sannyasi, once you take on sannyas life, in sastra it is said that, and happen that you drift. You know, you fall off and did not follow the proper rules and regulation of a sannyasi. What will happen? You have no way of going back this lifetime. No way. It is not like, you know, you can put one step back and start reforming and start doing some penance and doing all this. No, cannot. There's no atonement in this life. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, please do not. If you want to become a sannyasi, think a million times whether you can make it or not. If no, don't get into it. It's better to remain a householder. Because even though it is difficult, when we practice it, practice Krishna consciousness in the best way, then it has its own merit and ways of doing it in such a way that we can be safe. Which Prabhupada actually given a very nice, wonderful setup. Okay? And as far as householders are concerned, there are two kinds. There are two types of householders. One is the grahastha, the other one is grahamiti. So, a grahastha is quite simple. You know, he is actually the one who is thinking of going back home, back to Kauti. So, he is doing everything in Krishna consciousness. That is the grahastha. Whereas the grahamiti, he is one who leaves for the family members. Extended family or what family, everything. He is just living for them only. Everything, my family, oh no, I have to go, you know. That is why he always talks, Prabhu, I got no time. Because why, you know, today I have to go to work, this, that, I have to earn, you know, my this was sick, that one. Oh my God. Million problems you got, and everything you blame that he is very busy. He is very busy. But what's the use? Because you are not surrendered. That's why this looks very, very important. Things which are not important also, it happens to us, is important. So, grahamedhi is also, you know, the word medhi there actually is indicating jealousy. Jealousy to others. See, he is very jealous of other grahamedhis. How can he have this and can have that? Why not me? And, you know, once you have enviousness, what will happen? You will never be in good terms with any of the grahamedhis. So, among grahamedhis, they are always, you know, not in good terms. They are always fighting, quarreling, criticizing one another and all this. So, and as far as self-realization is concerned, spiritual life is concerned, zero. He is not interested. He has hardly any reason. Even if opportunities come, he will use excuses to block it. He will use excuse and say, no, why? What for? To come for Bhagavatam? What? Sunday, you know, I have better thing. I got something very important. And the very famous one, normally I hear is that, oh, my child is taking dancing, you know, Bharatanatyam, so I must bring her to the school. Child taking, so what are you worried about? That's the child one day. Child is in that age, so he say, you go down there and do what? You also do learn Bharatanatyam. You're just waiting there, waiting. What's the use? Why so fashion, you come here. After the class, tell them to wait. I mean, that's a wheel, that's a way. But excuses, because why? They don't have. And what are they involved in? Political, scientific, social, economic, blah blah blah, you can just name it. All these material things, they are always into it and trying their best to achieve success in all areas where possible. But what are these? These are mere attachments which we are going to fall into. We are caught. It's like a mouse trap, you know. The mouse goes, get trapped one way. you can't come up. So similarly, when we go into this kind of things and we get caught, sorry, you are really caught. You find it difficult to give up. Like, get position, this, that, you can't give up. You find it, oh, how can I give it up? You know, I'm the chairman of this particular committee now, you know, this, what, CCC or ABC or whatever it is, you know, all this. So I have to give it, how to give up? We cannot give up. Extremely difficult. It's easy said and done. And then, for him, self-realization is a forgotten thing. He has forgotten self-realization. He doesn't know anything about self-realization. Neither is he interested. Neither is he knows that that is lacking, and that's the reason why he is suffering in this life. See, that's why he has to work day and night and then take care of the family. And what we have to become? Become a real householder. That is what we must be. We need not worry about whether the other person, no, we don't need to go around today classifying, oh, he is a Dharmadi, he is a Dharata, he is a, no need all classification. Okay, we know what are the qualifications, but we make sure that we are in Grahastha Ashram. There is no such thing called Grahamadi Ashram. The Grahamadi, the ashram is not added, you know. Only in Grahastha is what ashram is added. So, don't ever forget. And what is this ashram means? What is this ashram? You know, we always say, oh, we went to the ashram, we stayed there and all these things. Ashram and Prabhupada puts it in a very nice purport. He puts it, ashram is a place where spiritual culture, that is Krishna consciousness, is always foremost. We have to give priority to spiritual life. It doesn't matter, you know, whether you go into get married or you don't get married. That's not the point. You know, some people may not be married, but that doesn't mean he is not married. He could be married. Mentally, he is getting married every now and then. What's the point? What's the point? He is actually married. This is worst. You might as well get married. See? But stay in Krishna consciousness. Spiritual life, very important. And Prabhupada goes on to say, spiritual culture, that is Krishna consciousness, is a common factor for all. All means all the ashrams. All the ashrams. We always tend to think householder means it's a little bit low, very low. No. In ashram wise, they are all safe. They are all safe. And all four ashrams belong to the same mission of life, that is realization of the Supreme. That is this four ashrams. So if we are in Grahastha Ashram, then no regrets. No regrets. You are in. And please remember Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's one typical example of what kind of a householder he was, you know. He's so fantastic. His time, every bit is so valuable. He's a judge. You know, he's a high court judge. And still he manages his time for what? Making money? No. Spiritual life. How to bring Krishna consciousness into the family and family members. And that is his key thing. And he is writing so many books and songs and all that. You see, just imagine, he's a householder. But how he is praised in our sampradaya. The great acharya. So, in Bhagavatam, it is said, you know, in one, you can check it out, it's 3:14:16. One can cross the dangerous situation of material ocean by living with a wife. Now, when we, you know, when we take this thing, when we say spouse, oh, difficult. It's the most headache thing in life. Right? We always think like that. But Bhagavatam here is saying that you can cross the most dangerous. And basically, it is because if you get, I mean, that provided you get a wife who is also, you know, keen in Krishna consciousness. Practice, you know, he's also keen to practice. They may not be practicing, it doesn't matter, but they are very keen. Then they become an asset. They become an asset. They will help you. Same way as a husband helps a wife. See, because they are very cooperative, then they will become very, then it's a very special. This special arrangement is there. But then, as far as householders are concerned, if we want to satisfy all this, you know, sometimes you always think, you know, in my house, is it possible? Do I have that kind of tasty kind of food to offer to these devotees or sadhus who come? Don't worry. Don't worry about this. Because why? All you need is just offer it to Krishna and you just give them the prasad. Krishna will do the rest. They will be very happy. They become satisfied. Because when you give it to Krishna, Krishna becomes satisfied. Anyone who comes there and also partakes, they also become satisfied. There will be no way someone will come and say, oh, this could have been, that could have been and all. No. They will find it super. Prasadam will be always super. And so, a human being is required to accumulate. You know, the human, they got two things they can accumulate. Either they accumulate the Daivi Sampat or the spiritual, which is spiritual asset. Or we have to accumulate the material, that is the material Sampat, that is the Asuri. Sambat means, it actually comes from the word Sambatyam, you know. In Tamil and all this, you know, right. This comes from Sambatyam. You know, you are making, you are earning. So, either is Devi Sambat or Asuri Sambat. Which one do you want? You want material asset, spiritual asset? We have to choose. We decide. And, otherwise, he will be, anyway, if we go for all this material and all this worldly thing, what will happen? He will be forced. If you don't go into Krishna consciousness and all this, I don't want this self-realization, I don't want God and all these too many things coming into my house because I do not even have time to take care of all these our family members and how to take care of this deity, how to take care of Krishna, this, that, worship, early morning, all this doesn't, for him no time. So, if you don't do that, then by providence of by nature, we will be forced into entanglement with the various worldly miseries. You will just fall into all the miseries that you can think of in this world. Because if you don't fall in that, then your activities are into attracting material miseries. No? It's something like an empty pot. You leave it empty, something will come and another cockroaches or whatever will come and occupy. Or at least the air will occupy. So we cannot leave it empty. So don't leave our mind, let me think about it, maybe, no. Immediately put Krishna consciousness right inside. Once it is occupied, then there is nothing else to occupy. You are safe. Okay, we will stop here. And if there is any questions or comments, please. Yes, Vandi. Thank you.
everything, the action. So in this one, today in your lecture you mentioned about this point about the wife is the protector. There is shloka 341 for that, you said actually. And to me, a similar shloka appears, not similar, but a contrasting shloka appears getting the same point about, I don't remember the exact shloka, but it said that Guru Karana Dharam, something like that.
Yes.
The human body is like a boat and the Guru is the captain and the favorable winds are the instruction for the children that we can walk on. And there is another shloka which says that the wife is the captain. And if I'm not wrong, then this shloka of 341 appears when about the episode of Kashyap Muni and Didi, where Kashyap Muni is actually glorifying Didi, and then Hiranyakashyapu and Hiranyaksha. Now, how do you compare actually? Because it appears to be two contrasting things.
Actually, the particular verse that Prabhu is saying, and this particular verse in 3:14-15, it clearly says two different things. The scenarios are there. In the first scenario that Prabhu is saying is when the Krishna consciousness. So, and or you know, generally, no matter how, the husband is supposed to be the spiritual master guiding the wife. But this particular verse that we quoted just now is actually going the other way around. How a wife can help? Help does not mean she is going to take over. She cooperates. When a wife cooperates with her husband in spiritual life, then there is no barrier. No one can stop you, frankly speaking. Then that is the best ashram you can be ever in. This is my experience. Really, I mean, you look at it. If the wife or the husband, if they are always one, and you know, as far as come to Krishna consciousness, no, I don't agree. Some one will not agree, one will agree. So it's always fighting, you know. No one spiritual life so much. Then it becomes a contradictory. But in this case, no. That one, the husband is still a husband, and he is supposed to be the one, the guiding principle. But here, this particular verse is talking about a wife who becomes very helpful in even dangerous situations like this. Because of her cooperation and all that, we can become very, 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 very easily crossed. Otherwise, you know, imagine someone puts in so much of stumbling blocks in front of us. Very, very tough. Very tough. So, if both are practicing, then it complements one another. And not only that, the husband would find it extremely easy to be a real spiritual master and guide the rest. Very easy. Otherwise it's difficult. Everything you say, no, I don't agree. How can, no, this I don't want. I don't like this. Too much austerity. I don't like. And it doesn't move. But when the lady in the house, she also moves along with you, then you are all the way. This is what I get them. Anyone else who wants to ask any questions or comments?
Prabhupada's sister Pishima, I heard the lecture in Bangalore from my Guru Maharaj, and I mean her example is very example good example for the rest of ashram, that her husband used to be an alcoholic and he was to be used to come late at night, but she was worshipping the Gopal deities at home. Prabhupada also, I mean, she has those Krishna deities. But she was so faithful to her husband that even for 40 years she tolerated his. He was very cruel with her. He never cared for her, and always he'd come back home and drunk at night at Calcutta. So for 30-40 years she was tolerating him, and he was so, because Prabhupada had instructed her, and he just tolerated, and so that's how she was. So she was very tolerant and she was very very submissive. I mean, for her, like, the husband was God for her. So she took care of him and gave him nice food and everything. She took care of him nicely. Because then after 40 years he fell at her feet, and then that was the quality. Because of that quality, she was like, you know, a spiritual master in that sense. She brought him back to spiritual life, and then he surrendered and he became this. That is the whole episode of Pishima. So we can see such exalted devotees. If they are in the Grastha Ashram, they can help the husband and come back to spiritual life. So there are so many stories of Sati also in Bhagavatam. There are so many stories in the Bhagavatam. Arish.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we know what is happening as far as Pishima is concerned. You see how you see that is why, you know, once the lady is determined and get it, because you know why the lady is actually controlling her. Even if the male wants to go out and make his own this thing, that thing, remember you are actually controlling the key to the stomach, you know. See? And humility, whatever comes, the humility, just cling on to the humility. And actually this humility is actually related to chastity of a woman. And chastity of a woman is so powerful that no weapons in the three worlds can conquer it. Husband cannot find anything where he can conquer. But that is provided we remain chastity. Okay? If the wife remains chastity, surely you don't need to worry. But if he is doing all these things, of course, you know, you are also part of your karma, no? It's not just happening as it is. So, just take it, don't worry, just do the chanting and your thing, and they will come. This humility is one you can really win over people. Very easy, humility can win over people. So that is why a wife, when she is very, very humble, if the wife is always arguing, this, that, you know, argue, what will happen? There will be a fight. Always fighting in the house. Cannot argue. One must give up. You know, one must take a back stand, you know. It doesn't matter what, after all, does it mean that you don't talk, remains, you lose? No. Only a fool thinks that way. An intelligent person will know. It doesn't work like that. Intelligently talking about it, it is always humility always wins. Humility. It is not the end result, you know. Just because, okay, oh, just say like that and give in to you. I lost. No. You have lost. Like Vritasura and Indra. Indra's position is so great. Vritasura eventually was killed, but what is Krishna saying? No, he won. He is the winner, not Indra. Indra got all his kingdom, and then he is completely absorbed in the material world. See, whereas he got the kingdom of God, the lotus feet of the Lord. See, even though he is a demon, Vritasura. Very good example. So like that. So can we something?
Hare Krishna, this is Mataji's question. Babaji wanted to know that it is said that we should not pay obeisances in front of the devotees. But normally it is very common that we pay obeisances to the devotees and we do Pancha Kalpa also. So please kindly put some light on this problem.
Actually, they say that you cannot bow down in front of the deity to anyone else other than the deity. So if we are doing it, then that is why, you know, sometimes you see we have altars, you know, in homes we have altars in the living room. You have to see whether it is open or right in front of you. If you want to show respect, go to the side. Go to the side, not in front of the deity. Front of deity you should not, because all things is amounting to paying obeisances and receiving obeisances. All receiving the Lord will be, no one else. You see? So that's how we should. Or else, close the button. Close the button. See. Otherwise, we should not. So if you are doing, then it's not doing the right one. Okay? So.
Thank you for the name, sir. Just wanted to clarify some points. In case of so-called white-hot, kind of non-cooperative, that material protection has been feel better. So, I just feel it's not, you know, just want to clarify why it is cooperative. It's quite difficult to get detention from family life. If it is other way around, it's quite simple. So, can you clarify this point? Which is better, whether it is cooperative or non-cooperative?
I don't get
your
question.
Which is better, whether why should it be cooperative or non-cooperative?
Okay, so see, the question is actually about Prabhupada. Now his wife was not cooperative. So therefore, you know, eventually he decided to go and take. But there was arrangements of the law. Anyone who wants to marry a sadhu like Prabhupada, they are not ordinary either. Okay? They are all like, well, you know, the famous saying is, marriage is decided in the heaven. So similarly, you know, these are great personalities. So, you know, for the Lord to play the role and make Prabhupada come out. Otherwise, Prabhupada may want to come out, you know, but he has no other reason to tell. Then the wife will scream. You say, how can you go? You leave me like this and go. Cannot. So, just make one small arrangement where, you know, simple tea, I cannot agree. What is tea after all, you know? If you tea cannot stop, tea can stop. But then the thing is just made in such a way that so there becomes some property. So he took, and yeah, that's a fact. But if he has not taken sannyas, then he won't be sitting here. Right? Then we will find we are all roaming out. Don't know what you are doing. Okay? So
had a son like Vena, Shri Kutsanya. So if you have good son or if you have better. I don't think you could.
Actually, this sannyas business is to be very frank, it is already built in your thinking already. It is already part of your life. You know, it's not that, you know, we feel and we want, you know, no. If you are meant to take the sannyas ashram, you come to that thing, you will go away. You will go. You will go for it. The moth cannot stop you. Because the moth will also encourage. Whether the wife is cooperative, not cooperative also, he will take. Because that is the, his life is better. His life is like that. He's given that. But then, we have to think twice. Before we go in, we must be strong enough. We must be strong enough. Because it's also equally tough. So many restrictions, so we have to definitely have to think it over. It's no point telling, oh, the wife is so terrible, horrible. So let me go and take. If everybody is going to do that, I think more than 3/4 of Singapore will be off. Because in material world, you know, you will definitely, you will get into this thing. Because the fact is, a wife cannot become a sannyasi anyway. You know, the ashram, only the male, you know. The varnashram is, and wherever the wife is tied up, the husband's ashram is also. It takes over, you know, slowly. So therefore, the wife cannot say, I want to take sannyas. No. Because for her not necessary. She can get liberation and all these nice spiritual things without having to go all this kind of things. That is the plus that Krishna gives to ladies. To make it equal. Otherwise it will be very unfair, because imagine they have to bear the kids, bring up the kids, look after this and that and all. And then, eventually they also must take care of, oh, must do this, must do that. No. She will get what the husband is getting, she gets it. Spiritual, I'm talking about spiritual. Material, no. Material, the poor husband has to take it in full. Whatever he does, the reaction goes in full to him. But if he is doing something good, yes, the wife also gets a check. If he is doing bad, husband has to take it in. Yes, it is solo. He has to take it on him and suffer for it. Okay, so, you know, there is plus minus things are there. So as long as the wife is concerned, you just make your Krishna conscious and stick to it and make sure your husband is also in there. And if you find the husband is a little off track, Krishna is always there. Just go to Krishna and tell him, this is it, my Lord, I don't know what you're doing. Definitely. Matter of time. Like this, Krishna, 40 years. 40 years is not a big time. It's not a long time, you know. Although we may think 40 years is a very, very long time. But in real, 40 years and all is nothing. Those people who are now for 50 years, you think back 40 years when you are 10 years old. It will look like yesterday. Not very long. 10 years it will look like. Not far. Not long ago I was 10 years. And now, 50 years. Not long. Only when we take our lifespan and we look at it. But really when we look at it, eternity, when you take the cosmic creation, the time now, 40 years is just not even a moment. So all this will be overcome. And the husband or the wife, in whichever case, you know, the husband also will have to be getting, you know, if the wife is not cooperating, is not coming to the conscience. But he, then slowly you see, Krishna will do the wonder. you can be rest assured. If we are serious, Krishna becomes even more serious. And he will make sure that we get it. He will definitely.
Okay, we will stop here for the passing time.
Kandra Srivat Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Ananda Kodi Vaishnava ki jai, Gaura Vaishnava ki jai.